there, and welcome to Open Mic here on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Laura White Brown, the mayor of Morehead. Laura, thanks so much for spending time with us today.
Thank you for having me.
As always, we're going to start off our show today kind of the same way we've been doing it for several months now. I'm looking forward to a time that I don't have to talk to you about the COVID numbers in our community. COVID numbers went up towards the end of October, and we ended up being in a red zone like most of the state of Kentucky right now. And how is that impacting the city of Morehead currently?
We continue to take precautions each day. We kind of use the daily numbers as a guide. We continue to be in constant communication with people from Frankfurt who are providing us additional guidance as it comes out. Right now, what we're doing is we still have all of the city facilities closed. So people are not renting those out. We don't have any large gatherings in any of those spaces for the time being. And we've really made a big push for city employees to work remotely if possible. So at City Hall, that's something that we've done. We installed a large Dropbox for any documents or payments or property taxes coming in. They can all be dropped in that box. And so that kind of lessens the contact that we have with the public so that we can make sure we continue to do our jobs.
I know that the numbers have been down for a couple days, but it seems like they go down and you get hopeful and then they just shoot right back up. And now this week is the time where any increase in numbers from the Thanksgiving holiday are going to start showing up over the next few days. And I anticipate we're going to see the numbers go up again. But there's good news on the horizon because the vaccine is on the way. What is the city of Morehead doing to anticipate and plan for when we have access to a vaccine here in the community?
All of the mayors and judge executives were on a call last week with the governor, and he explained the breakdown of the vaccines and how those would be coming out. There is a federal contract with CVS and Walgreens, and so those are the agencies that will be facilitating the vaccines. The first round, I believe Kentucky was granted 38,000 vaccines of either Moderna or Pfizer. Those are the first two coming out. And then the second one, we would be getting 78,000 across the state. You know, the governor announced last week which hospitals would be getting them. Unfortunately, St. Clair was not in that first round of getting them, but I do think there was a big push for all of the public hospitals to get those first. But they're really making sure that the frontline healthcare workers, as well as workers and staff in long-term care facilities like nursing homes, are the first to get vaccinated.
I feel like a lot of discussion on social media has been about, everything's going to go back to normal after the first of the year because we have a vaccine. But looking at the numbers, it's probably going to be months, like late spring months, before we have widespread access or even limited access at this point, because, 38,000 is not a lot at all.
It's not. And I know that one of the other things that the governor said was that the hope was that by the end of January or beginning of February, that would be the first round for paramedics and EMTs. So we know that it's not going to be until a little bit after the first of the year before those people are able to receive vaccines. So I think the general public will be much later following those.
In spite of the global pandemic, or actually directly because of the global pandemic, most communities are trying to be a little creative when it comes to dealing with normal holiday events. And Morehead is usually bustling almost every weekend from September through the first week of December with events and concerts and shows. And it's usually a very busy time of year, and those things have been ground mostly to a halt. But the city is, and the county are actually hosting a decorating contest right now. Let's talk a little bit about that.
We were really happy with the turnout we had from the Halloween and fall decorating contest. Tons of people throughout the community participated in that. So we're doing that again for winter. So any holiday decorations that you have, there's two components to it. There's a business side and then a residential side. So whether or not you have a storefront or you want to decorate your home or your front lawn, you can take pictures of those decorations. You can submit them on the Round County Fiscal Court website, and those pictures will be posted to social media, and whichever contestants get the most social media attention will be the winners.
Recently, I took a drive through City Park, which is absolutely lovely with decorations. The city has taken it upon themselves to decorate that area. There's music, there's lights, and it's just kind of a lovely little side trek that one can take if you are out looking at lights. And I wonder if is the city getting any feedback about that particular attraction, and what are your plans for keeping that in the future when we're no longer dealing with a global pandemic?
I have to give all the credit to Parks and Recreation. They really took that idea and ran with it. We were trying to come up with something to kind of bring joy to people, something that we can do without gathering, still allowing for social distancing. So a drive-through or walk around, if you wanted to walk around, you can drive around the loop of the city park. There's lots of different animated lights out there. And what we really wanted to do was just kind of provide something for people to do, just to get out in the evenings and enjoy. We've continued to add to it from the start. So if you went by at the beginning and you drive by now, you may notice additional pieces out there. There's also holiday music playing. So when you drive around, you can listen to music as you go through.
And also, Downtown Moorhead Incorporated is doing a little raffle right now. They've collected some gift cards from area businesses, and they've done a few days of drawings, and I think there are just a few, maybe a handful of tickets left for the big for the days leading up to the big grand prize drawing, and I kind of miss the planning stages of that, but I feel like they're really just trying to highlight downtown businesses.
Absolutely. The organization wanted to find a way to really support local businesses during this time, small businesses especially. So they have kind of accumulated gift cards and some local prizes from our hometown businesses and then put those together for a raffle drawing. I think they're doing 13 different days of drawings with some really fantastic and large prizes as well. Tickets were $25 a piece, and I believe there's still some for sale. You could contact Tony Pence or anyone that you know on the Downtown Moorhead organizational board, and they'll be able to set you up with those.
I know I've been watching the Downtown Moorhead Incorporated Facebook page to get updates on that and see who wins and hope I win, of course, because I definitely got one of those raffle tickets. I think the grand prize is like $1,500 worth of gift cards for local businesses. So it's like a win-win because I could use an extra
Absolutely.
$1,500 for Christmas for sure.
That's right. And they take Venmo too. So a lot of different payment options there. So they're ready to go, ready to help you.
That's wonderful. I guess it's sad to see not as many people out and about in Moorhead, but it is really nice to know that the majority of the residents are being really responsible when it comes to the global pandemic. I rarely see people out without a mask anymore. I very, very rarely see a lot of people. I mean, I don't go out very much as just for the necessities and for work, but it's interesting to see how the community is trying to support each other while still being very careful in this very scary time.
Absolutely. I'm very proud of our community. We've we've really come a long way. People are listening to social distancing, people are wearing masks, and so that's a really good thing to see. It's reassuring. We know that some of these cases are kind of inevitable, and like we mentioned earlier, until we get a vaccine, we probably are not going to eradicate this in our area. But as we continue to do everything we can to keep people safe, I think that will really help us in the long run.
And on that note, we're going to take a quick break here on Open Mic. We'll be right back after this.
Morehead State Public Radio has special programs planned for the holiday season. Visit WMKY.org for the complete listing of our shows as we celebrate Hanukkah, Christmas, the winter solstice, and more. Happy holidays from Morehead State Public Radio. Visit WMKY.org.
And we're back here on Open Mic here at Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and we're visiting today with Laura White Brown, the mayor here in Morehead. Laura, thanks again for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
The City Council held a special board meeting on Monday night, and basically to do some general business. First and foremost, there was a lot of discussion and questions about the Morehead Gateway Development Area TIF District, the Tax Increment Financing District. We already have one of those downtown, and this is a new proposed district that will be up in on the other end of town, near the across the street from the Kroger Plaza. There's currently a mobile home park there, and hopefully some people will be coming in to create some new business space and some new retail and restaurant spaces up there, and sounds like a pretty good deal. But what did the city have to do during their special meeting on Monday night?
We had the first reading of an ordinance to declare that area as a TIF district, and then it would also set the rates for the local participation agreement as well as the development agreement. And so it's a lot of paperwork, a lot of documentation that goes into this. And we have a really phenomenal attorney out of Northern Kentucky kind of guiding us and helping us on this project as well. But it did pass unanimously. And so that was very, very exciting.
And I know this is a very long process, and this is just the first step. This is the first reading of this particular ordinance. Obviously, there'll have to be a second reading before it's passed. Is there a reason that the city did this the week before their regularly scheduled monthly meeting?
Yes, the developer that's working on this project would like to have the TIF ordinance declared prior to the end of the year. So both the city and the county are trying to assist that, or at least put that on our agenda so that they have an answer from the city and the county in order to meet their timelines.
So you anticipate the second reading of the ordinance will happen during the regular city council meeting, which is scheduled for Monday?
Yes.
Okay. Now, do it, as far as I know, this is timelines, and we've probably discussed a few things before, but when will we see movement there? I mean, I know the planning stages with the 911 and police center, which we're going to talk about here in just a little bit. Like we've known about it for quite some time, but we still haven't seen any construction in that area. Are we anticipating a similar timeline when it comes to construction of this new area development?
Well, because this is it's private property, and it's a deal between a property owner and a developer. The only part that the city has any participation in is the declaration of the TIF itself. So that timeline will be figured out between the developer and the property owner, and I'm not really sure what their schedule is. I know that at one of our meetings, the developer said he would like to break ground in 2021. So I think that's somewhat of their hope.
Now, I know this is a very complicated process, and TIF district financing is, I mean, it's rocket science to me. I'm not a numbers person. But what does it mean for the citizens of Rowan County? I've seen some comments on social media about raising taxes. People are concerned that money's going to be coming out of local pockets, although I do know that this developer is coming in with their own funding to create this development district. So how is this going to impact Moorhead residents and Rowan County residents?
It is very confusing, and I think all of us are kind of learning because it's very different than the downtown TIF, but this is not a tax increase for anyone in the community. What this is it is a property tax that will be paid only by the developer, and then what the city has done is our existing property taxes and occupational taxes, we are dedicating a certain amount of those to go towards the infrastructure in this area. So taxes are not increasing. We're just kind of reallocating where some of them are dedicated to.
And that's not affecting any of the other groups that receive local tax dollars, like the school system or the library board, for example. Those will still be have the same amount of allocation.
Correct. Those are not counted in this agreement.
And I know that it wasn't on the agenda for the city council meeting this time, but I do know that the downtown TIF board has had some meetings recently. There's a lot of discussion that's happening in closed session. Obviously, because of the way that the TIF board works, many things cannot be discussed in open meetings. But is there anything that you are able to share with us about that development at this time?
I think right now what we're waiting on is really just kind of for that final timeline. I know that the developer is working on some closings of properties as well with private owners. So it's just kind of a waiting game until those pieces are complete. The TIF board itself can't really do anything, and I don't expect that we would see any progress until those decisions are made.
Well, we will all wait with bated breath to see things happening downtown as well. The city council in this special meeting also approved a resolution about the control estimate of Pack Walker as the contract with the city to build the Moorhead Police Department and 911 Center. Tell us a little bit about what that resolution means.
Absolutely. So this was a very exciting meeting. As you said, it's taken some time for us to see anything, but I feel like this is as close as we've gotten. So what we did was we passed a resolution for the final budget or the overall budget based on the bids. We had a bid opening earlier in December, and we had a huge amount of contractors bid, which was really exciting. All of the bids were very competitive. And so we were able to award each of the bid packages at this meeting.
And I noticed, the award of the subcontracting, there are 12 different items, plumbing and finishes and roofing and flashing, masonry, a lot of different things were awarded. So what happens next? Is there going to be groundbreaking soon? Are we going to see equipment down there within the next few months?
We are hoping to break ground the week after Christmas. Right now, that is the goal. If not, I think it'll be the first of the year, but we are really, really excited. I know all of the police and 911 employees are very excited, as well as city council. This has been a long time coming, and we're closer than we've ever been right now.
That is good news to hear. Now, the regular meeting is happening next week. I know that there will be a lot of discussion. The last month's regular city council meeting, there was a lot of change that was discussed. And one of the things that you and I had talked about was the changing of pay scale for city employee raises that are proposed right now. That's still up in the air, isn't it?
It is. So we passed with a tie vote, but we passed the first budget amendment that included pay scale adjustments. And so the second reading of that budget amendment will be on this agenda. It is exciting. We've made a few kind of tweaks to it since the last meeting, but we did that under the review of the budget committee. So we are excited to see that go back up for another vote and discussion later this month.
Is there anything else coming up in the city council meeting that'll be next week?
We have a pretty full agenda for the regular meeting. We have several people who want to make presentations. I believe we're going to hear about some funding requests from the Folk Arts Center, as well as I believe a presentation from some citizens with just some requests for projects. For example, we have on our agenda someone who's going to make a presentation about the preservation of wildflowers in the city park area. So a lot of guest speakers that we're really looking forward to hearing from.
And that's all the time, sadly, that we have here on Open Mic. Mayor of Moorhead, Laura White Brown, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to Open Mic. Our show is produced by Greg Jenkins, and our theme music is Turtle in the Creek, composed by Galen Green and performed by The Wooks. Produced by Moorhead State Public Radio with the generous support of listeners just like you. We'll see you next Friday.